Perfect. Now I have your number. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Welcome back, guys. As you've heard me tirelessly state over and over and over, what's the best way to meet women? Day game. You've definitely heard me say that before. I'll say it again, and I'm going to say it today a lot, because we have a day game expert and specialist, also a specialist on dating in the former Soviet Union, and that's St. Robert, and he's a day game coach originally from Latvia, and he's been coaching for over the last 3 years, and he left his home country to travel and live from city to city almost 2 years ago, and he loves talking trash about some interesting topics like inner game, meditation, overcoming fear of approaching, long theory discussions, and other mental masturbation, which I also like to talk trash on a lot of those things too. So that'll be fun to talk about. He's got a very structured and technical approach to meeting girls and teaching about it. You might have heard him before on Tom Torero's podcast, James Tusk's YouTube and podcasts and conferences and radio show he's been a guest on. And having traveled and dated girls from all over the former Soviet Union, he's quite the expert on this area, which I love to speak about too, and the challenges of dating those sorts of women. So St. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey guys. By the way, just a comment, nothing wrong with meditation, but if guys say they have to meditate to overcome approach anxiety, then that's where it becomes mental masturbation.
Totally agree. Big fan of meditation too.
Every morning, man. I do it every morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the way you state that could be like, guys are going to listen. Oh, you think it's mad.
No, well, meditation is amazing. But
yeah. Well, I actually did a whole like speech back in the day on the 21 convention and went over a bunch of topics that I thought were new age or woo woo when it came to just like approaching girls and just having to do it. But we're going to get into all that. So let's start off, tell us your story. How'd you get into this stuff?
Oh man, I was a good relationship type of guy.
Yeah.
I'm 33 and I've been in relationships since I was 15 years old. And I'm not saying relationships that lasted like 3 months. They were all like 1.5, 2.5 years, like in that kind of length. And I've done six and each time that I ended up in a relationship, I was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to be the kind of boyfriend that each day to be like, be nicer, do things for the chick. And the last chick even had kids from her previous relationships. And I was like raising them partially. And I was being a proper, nice, good guy, the way they teach you to be. And after the last relationships ended, and I started thinking, well, I'm trying to do the right thing. It doesn't work. And then I started digging and I found that the statistics about marriage are pretty, pretty bad. And people in general are quite unhappy in relationships. And if their divorce rates that I found, those are just the divorce rates. Those are people who had balls to get a divorce instead of staying in a shitty relationship for the rest of their lives.
All those people who aren't divorced, they must be happy, but
no. I spoke to some people and they said, yeah, but they said like, I spoke to this like lady who was like this husband that they've been together for like all of their life. And she said, yeah, but look at how we're like together all this life. And then I just asked, well, but are you happily married or are you just doing this because it's easier? And she never said anything ever again. So then I said, well, it obviously doesn't work. So let's explore what other approaches to relationships are there. And I started Googling about different kind of approaches. And I found I think I Googled how to meet girls. And I found out about day game. And I'm a geek. I'm a like really geeky when I do something. And I just started watching everything I could find, listening to all the podcasts, reading books. And that's all I was doing was day game. I had a business where I could work a few hours a day and that made me enough money to do whatever I wanted. And I was hours and hours a day. I was reading, watching, I was going out. And I started getting results pretty fast. And I learned most from Tom Torero's material. And then I met him on a street and we chatted about it, and he asked me about my stats. And as soon as I told him my stats, and he said, dude, like, you're like the top level worldwide. I don't know whether you know that, but you should coach. And I started accidentally coaching. And
oh, yeah.
And it just snowballed. I got on his podcast, and that kind of put me on a map. Then his podcast ended, and I had started my podcast by that time. And at that moment, my podcast was pretty much the only podcast on the day game topic, because no one was doing podcasts. Everyone was doing YouTube. And
yeah.
And it just kind of snowballed, and I met more people and got on more podcasts and then a radio show. Then I started traveling, and fuck this, because Latvia was boring to me.
Where were you approaching when you met Tom? Was that in London?
I was approaching mostly in Riga for the first year. Apart from, like, except when I was coaching abroad, I started coaching super fast. I started coaching maybe 6 months after I, like, really started day gaming. I had some day game experience before, but, like, you know how it is. Like, you start day gaming, then you get in a relationship, then you break up, and then you start day gaming for real. And then I was chatting to Tom over emails, and we wanted to meet in Vilnius in Lithuania. And he was in Vilnius, and I'm sending him an email. Hey, I'm going to Vilnius, so let's grab a beer. And he responds, dude, you won't believe it. I'm on my way to Riga right now.
Oh, nice.
And like a few days back, I was back in Riga, and I randomly met him on the street. And that's how it started. And
You bumped into him day gaming.
Yes, on my favorite day game corner.
I've met a lot of day game guys, bumped into them while day gaming.
Exactly. That's how you know who's the real OG.
Budapest, Belgrade, you know, all over the place.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people talk, but you go out and you never see them in their city. But if you see them repeatedly on the streets, then you know that they're the real deal.
For sure. So obviously, you know, being from the former Soviet Union and, you know, living all over Europe and living all over, you know, Eastern Europe. You know, tell us more about kind of your history with the, did you originally, were you dating all girls from Latvia and then you started dating girls from other countries? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I was doing the relationship thing, then that was exclusively Latvian chicks. I never dated, and not even Latvian, but because in Latvia we have chicks that are, let's say that they're like parents and grandparents and etc. were Latvian. And then there are the Russian heritage chicks. So I was dating the Latvian heritage chicks. And when I started day gaming, and the pickier I became, and the more I started liking challenges in game, and just, you know, there is this phase you go through where you just, oh, she's so tough, I want to bank her just because it's so hard. Like, I don't view it like that anymore. I'm like, lady, you're like 20 and you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, like, keep walking. But the pickier I became, the more I started approaching Russian chicks, like Russian heritage chicks. So I started dating them kind of casually, and then when I traveled, I have this weird thing.
In case other people are wondering, I think I know what you mean, but what do you mean by Russian heritage exactly?
Well, their parents or grandparents were originally Russian. They were born, they were raised in a Russian family, speaking Russian, hanging out with Russian friends. And it's a completely different culture. Whereas Latvian, like girls that are kind of either Latvian or even Polish and Czech, and they're more westernized. They're like a bit more liberal, a bit more, they don't have as much traditional religious good girl background. They're not as much all about money. I'm not saying Russian girls are, but they are a bit like you'll find more Russian girls that are into money than girls from Western Europe.
So, and you were raised
I'm
not
Latvian.
Russian heritage.
No. Okay. Well, genetically it's a mix, but I was raised as a Latvian. I learned Russian just because of business and friends and shit like that. Sports. Yeah.
Got it.
So Russians, so there's this big difference between girls in all of the former Soviet Union. You have the girls that are, whose heritage are mostly like from that country, and then you have the ones who were like kids of immigrants up from Russia, Ukraine, or they're completely different. It's a completely different ball game. Like, you want a game Latvians, it's one thing, but then you start day gaming Russians, and that's where you realize that, oh, this is how frame looks like. This is how frame tests look like. Oh my God. Like, I remember going on this date with this girl, and two drinks in, she's like, she like looks at me. We're playing questions game. I assume like most people know what questions game is. And she just looks at me and she's like, you want to fuck me now?
That was her question. Good one.
That was her question. Like, and I knew that it's a bait, that I cannot say yes if I say yes. Like, and I just looked at her and I was like, you think, are you asking whether I want to take you by the hand, take you to the bathroom and like lean you against the wall and fuck you from behind? No, not really. Not yet. I don't know you that well yet. I have to know you a little bit better. I care about connection. And then I have this amazing story about how I kind of, I'm tired from friction without connection. And I have this story that I tell on I still tell the story in every date. And it's a true story how I build connection slowly. And then I decide whether to sleep with a girl. And that story actually helps me bring girls back home and helps them to feel kind of comfortable enough to stay over, even if you don't have sex, which ends up having sex. And I use shit like that with Russian girls all the time. Like, there are some certain things, certain stories that I love telling them, especially if I feel that they have sugar baby vibe.
Yeah, interesting. And how would that work on a Lithuanian or a Polish girl or someone more westernized? They would just be like, bullshit, or?
Oh, no. Because those stories are true. So
right.
You just,
would they be just, more likely?
You just don't need them.
Yeah. So I'm curious, would you put Ukrainians under the Russian heritage, or do you think are they closer to Russian heritage, or they're
the weird thing is I don't have a Ukrainian flag.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah,
we could talk about that.
I wherever I travel, I meet a lot of Russians, but I don't meet that many Ukrainians, and so maybe it's time to go to Ukraine, which I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
but no, they're like Russians. The ones I've met, they are like Russians, even a little bit more. You know, I think Russians, Ukrainians, and Serbians, and Balkan girls in general, they're fairly similar. Balkan girls being even more traditional, even having stronger frame, and being even cockier than Russians and Ukrainians.
Yeah, in my experience, you know, I've lived in Ukraine for 3 years, spent some time in Russia, spent some time in Croatia, Serbia. I definitely noticed a difference between Croatians, Serbians, Montenegrins, like girls from the former Yugoslavia or Balkans, you could say, right? I found them to be a little bit more traditional, they're less likely to sleep with you as fast. Tend to be like, everyone I met was like a lawyer, a doctor, a police officer. They're very educated.
Yeah.
And like tough competition in that part of the world, because the guys over there are top notch and they're typically tall and pretty alpha compared to like the American guys that I'm used to. but if you compare those guys to Ukrainian guys, and this seems to be changing. I feel like Ukrainian guys as a whole are kind of becoming a little bit tougher competition. But like when I first came here, I just noticed the average, like there was no competition, and the Ukrainian girls will often say that they don't even like their local guys because they're lazy or they don't work or this or that. Whereas I've never heard a Serbian girl or a Croatian girl talk shit on their own countrymen. So I found that to be kind of interesting. Just some patterns across the
board. It's a good topic. Let's actually chat about this a little bit. So first of all, Americans are a little bit of a different breed. Mm-hmm. Americans, when they learn the game, are very different from guys from most of the places in Europe that I've seen. Because Americans are raised to be very nice and polite, and they're good at stupid chit-chat.
Yep.
Which you, when you work with them, you're going to have to beat them with a stick to get that out of them.
Yep, that's us.
That's definitely. So they have to learn to kind of abandon that attitude and become more kind of masculine and lead more and become more assertive. But once they learn that, they actually have a very good chance with girls in former Soviet Union. And when we talk about Balkans, the one advantage foreigners have in Balkans, especially in places like Serbia, it's so traditional that recently there was this big scandal that this huge influencer with 250,000 followers on Instagram in Serbia, a dude, was on a TV show. And on the TV show, he said something like, well, if I'm with a girl, if we're in a relationship, who the hell is she that she can say no to me when I want sex? Who the fuck is that girl? Girls, he said girls don't have right to say no to sex when they're dating someone. So they have this culture of stay in the kitchen and right. and you're like, I'm your boss and things like that. And girls don't like it. They have a big uprising of, I would say, positive feminism, where yeah. women are slowly starting to see, whoa, that is not normal. This shouldn't be like that. I actually think then that in a few years, not Serbia, but Belgrade in particular, will be the next big thing on the day game map. Now it shouldn't be. It's so traditional that most guys will be destroyed here. But in a few years, I think it will be like next Prague, because that, that positive, nice way, nice type of feminism will yeah. give rise to this sexual freedom. I'm already seeing girls here that are either really traditional or like into some really kinky shit. Like they've heard about BDSM. They've heard that someone can tell them get on your fucking knees, yeah, but they've never had anyone say that. Right. And like a few days back, I told the chick, like, get on your knees. She gets on her knees. She looks at me and she says, I'm so proud that I could do this and that I actually followed your order.
So, yeah, that's interesting, because I used to day game in Belgrade. This was back in 2015, 2016. I went there back-to-back years, took students there as well. And it was amazing because there's, you know, gorgeous Serbian girls everywhere, but everyone had a rough time. They didn't do so well. And these, you know, obviously I knew what I was doing and I did okay. But the guys who were kind of like newer to day game, they had done a decent amount of approaches, but they had much better luck in Budapest. They had better luck, yeah. You know, obviously in the States and New York.
And even Budapest is a tricky country, even like compared to Belgrade, it is easier, but it's not much easier, because Budapest is if you're talking about streets, then Budapest is also a very relationship oriented country. Mm-hmm. Like it would, you can find chicks that are really down to fuck as soon as you meet them, but because the lays that I got in Budapest, like some of them were just same day lays, like street bar home. And but it was still fairly
traditional. Definitely found the Hungarian girls to be a little bit more promiscuous than the Serbian girls.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of all the countries that I visited in Eastern Europe, I've never been to Lithuania, never been to Latvia, but I've been to Poland, Hungary, Serbia, Croatia. You know, never been to Bosnia, but like hooked up with some Bosnian, Montenegrin girls. In terms of like, and I'm curious to hear what you think kind of in terms of maybe most promiscuous, I would put Hungarians, Ukrainians, pretty close. I mean, I tend to surround myself in a very promiscuous community as well here in Ukraine, or at least I used to, before I had a girlfriend. So I was definitely filtering for those sorts of girls in the party scene. And just doing crazy shit. But just as a whole, just from day game, you definitely, I'd say from day game, you're more likely to run into like the normal, obviously, the population. And I just found yes. Hungarians and Ukrainians to be a little bit more promiscuous than the rest of them in the area. Russians, I would say, kind of similar to Ukrainians too. Not a whole big difference there. So
I'm very curious about going to Ukraine and Russia to see Russians on their home turf. Because the Russians I've met abroad, like, it's just same delay, first date lay.
Well, the Russians you meet in America are a lot different than the Russians you meet in Russia. That, yeah. Like, you meet a Russian chick in Miami, you know, Miami's filled with Russian people. New York's got quite a bit, obviously, San Francisco, LA, you know, the big cities, of course. But the Russian girls in the US have a horrible stereotype of just being like ice cold, gold digging bitches. And you go to Russia and they're not like that at all.
Yes, at least, exactly. I met them in many places in Europe, wherever I try. I don't think I've been on dates with Russian girls in Mexico, but they were like from Russia traveling to Mexico, but and all around Europe. But those are travelers, so it's. Yeah. I'm very interested in actually going to motherland, yeah, to Russia and really gaming there. But I actually explored it today, and it seems pretty hard to go there right now. Apart from like, there are some countries that where that you can go from, but it's a friend of mine just went to Russia for a few weeks or a month or something, and I don't know how the fuck he got in, but
well, if you come to Kiev, I can get you a visa pretty easily.
Yeah,
I know. So I got a 3-year work visa to Russia that I, you know, I spent some time there over the last couple of years, but I prefer Ukraine. I love Kiev. I like Kiev a lot more than Moscow. But everyone who day games, they'll talk about St. Petersburg being like day game mecca.
That's where I want to go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually didn't answer your question about promiscuous girls. So first of all, if guys think that they can approach and they're getting laid just because they approach and they think now that they'll go to former Soviet Union and get laid left and right, then well, go try that.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck. They'll no, like if they're actually pretty decent, have pretty decent game, then they'll succeed. But former Soviet Union, and I didn't know that. I learned there. And I thought, oh, that's normal game. Like you deal with frame tests all the time. You have token last minute resistance. Girls are saying shit like we won't have sex tonight, and like all this like stuff that they do. And I grew as a day gamer. Like I learned day game in that environment, so I thought it's normal. But then I went to more Western places and was like, damn, this chick is escalating on me. What the fuck?
Right.
I have to like. So if they're used to the Western culture, then going to anywhere in former Soviet Union would actually be a challenge. So they shouldn't expect to.
Yeah, that was my exact experience. You know, because I got very good at game in the U.S. And yeah, a lot of the time in terms of like escalation, especially, you just get to a point where the girl starts escalating on you. It's like the more kind of push pull you do, the more she'll be like, all right, I'm going to fuck this guy. It's my idea. And, you know, and she'll kind of do the rest.
Exactly.
Whereas you're not going to get that at all with Eastern European women.
Yeah. So if guys go there and some like to go to Poland, the thing with Poland is they're open to day game, but Poland isn't the first date lay country. Poland is on average second date lay country. So guys have to be ready for that. My favorite city, which I'm totally like inside it openly because I don't really go there anymore, is
let me
Prague.
Guess. Prague. Okay.
What did you think?
I thought you were going to say in Poland, and I did a lot of day game in Wrocław.
Oh man, Poland. Shut the fuck up! Why did you tell that? It's like a gem. People know about it, but like they don't go there. So
right.
Yes. Wrocław is actually, like, I haven't been, but if I went to Poland, I would go to Wrocław just because it's a student city with so many students.
Universities.
But I love, and I obviously I'm joking, like, I don't hide cities where I go. I don't really care. Like, unless I'm going there and I don't want anyone to show up, then I'm keeping it secret and I'll post stories once I'm there and I'll tell guys that, hey, I'm here. But before I go, I just don't do it because people tend to show up and overgame the city pretty fast. So
totally. We'll so issue Poland, a challenge if they can figure out, because Wrocław is not spelled like Wrocław. So if they can figure out where that city is by the way we're pronouncing it, and then good for you if you can get there. But
exactly. Yeah, but luck. I would definitely say go to Prague, and Prague post COVID, because Prague is one of the biggest tourist hotspots in Europe, and especially girls from Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, and actually all over the world, they go to Prague, and it's so easy there. But with tourists, local, since Prague, I think, is the number one most overgamed city in Europe, and Kiev might be a close second, I think. So Prague is so overgamed that if you open a local girl on the main shopping street, na Prikopje, she will just look at you with the eyes. After your day game enough, you know the look in their eyes that, oh, I've seen this shit like 10 times before and like 7 times this week.
Right.
Like they will have that look on their face. So, but if you're really high level and you approach in like a way that isn't typical day game way, like it will still work. But definitely I suggest Prague. Poland is pretty cool. Just be ready to go on 2 dates. And if you want to hit a place that's a bit more interesting, then I would definitely say do the Baltics, either Vilnius or Riga. And well, I prefer Riga, and day gamers from Vilnius who live, a friend of mine, day gamer from Vilnius who used to live in Riga, also said that Riga is way better. So I would say Riga. In Riga, Latvian heritage girls will be a bit easier. I'm not saying easy. I'm saying a bit easier. And then you have the Russian heritage girls who will kind of show you the Russian girl light version.
Yeah.
You know, like Russian 1.0, like before you go and actually day game real Russian. So it's like a first Prague and Poland, then maybe go to Latvia or Lithuania, and then you can upgrade your game to Budapest. And if you want to really, really challenge yourself and have a little mental breakdown, do Serbia.
Yeah.
I mean, capital of mental breakdowns for day gamers.
I day game quite a bit in Split, Croatia as well, and Var, the party island. But that was more night game, and that's a ton of British tourists, unfortunately. and not so many locals. but Split was good in terms of, well, it was hard, similar to Belgrade. What are your thoughts? Have you ever been to Minsk in Belarus?
No, I haven't been. But again, I have friends who have been there, and I've spoken with them about it. And it's traditional. And The thing with traditional, when you speak to girls in a traditional country and you say to them, oh, like this country is so traditional, everyone's so traditional. And they're like, well, no, we're not. We're so crazy. Like, and then they think they're not traditional because that's the environment where they live. And maybe they, like in Serbia where I am now, they live in Belgrade, which is this crazy, filthy, sexual city where people fuck before marriage, like on a third or fourth date. And for them, that is so not traditional, that is so promiscuous. And unless you're like going for girls in the late 20s where they, because you know, like girls in Europe, they, or in US, I assume it's the same, their crazy years are the late teens to early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've kind of fucked everything that moves, and they're like, okay, I'm done with this shit, I'm gonna be serious now. And their late 20s, they become way harder to sleep with. And again, right. Why would you? Because whereas in places like any very traditional place, they are very traditional when they're younger, and then by the late 20s they kind of realize, wait, this isn't what I was promised, like,
right.
Maybe there's something more, and then they become more promiscuous. So it's completely opposite, like Western and Eastern world, and how, when people sleep, when it's easier to sleep with girls. So
totally.
To me, yeah, that's places really like point. This is just a fun challenge for myself.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with the university culture and sororities, fraternities, especially in the U.S. and maybe other Westernized countries. You know, when you go off to college or university, it's just like fuck fest, you know, 2021 or whatever year it is. That's what people do in college. They just fuck. And that's kind of just like the culture, you know, go to frat parties, sororities, we'll have, you know, frat meetups. And it's just a big like sexual smorgasbord. And I'm guessing that's not really the culture over here at the universities.
Yeah, no, it's people do hook up, but then they kind of end up being together for a while, or like not always. There is a hookup culture in former Soviet Union, unless you're talking extremes like Ukraine, Belarus, and Serbia, which they have the hookup. Like it's not really hookup culture, but they fuck, but then they end up in relationships. So, but in places like Latvia or Poland or Czech Republics, It's kind of mixed. You have hookup culture, but it's not as crazy as in the Western world. And another interesting thing when it comes to girls from this part of the world, which I've noticed, a lot of them, even hot ones, aren't getting laid for longer periods of time. You can meet a girl who hasn't gotten laid for like 6 months, and that would be normal because she would rather not fuck anyone then fuck someone who she thinks isn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So girls not getting laid doesn't give you an easy go at sleeping with them. You still need to be pretty fucking amazing and have pretty fucking good game.
Yeah, I've seen that quite a bit here. Girls just, you know, they're like, well, I'm not going to sleep with just anyone. So why would I, you know? How about, have you spent any time in Estonia?
I've coached guys from Estonia. I know day gamers from Estonia. I haven't spent time there. Mm-hmm. And Estonia is more similar to places like Finland than it is to former Soviet Union. So I wouldn't even consider Finland former Soviet Union day game wise. It's more Scandinavian type of girls.
Scandinavian culture is big time hookup culture from what I've heard.
Yeah, but if you like feminism and girls who are openly sexual and they just say, yeah, like, I want to fuck. Like, right. I'm not into that. I'm into feminine girls who like have fucked seven guys in her life and haven't had sex for 6 months or a year. And then I come around and like first date, she fucks me. Like, that's what I'm into. Like the good girls and sleeping with nicer, like, I'm not that interested in sleeping with someone who has like, I don't know, like however many lays they have, but I'm not into that. Like, it's just, I wouldn't even, like, I would still sleep with her maybe as a regular even, but I wouldn't hang out with her outside of bedroom. And if she is like even close to my lay count, like, whoa, like I'm going to use a condom for sure.
For sure. Well, I mean, there's that whole, you know, feminists will call it a double standard, but you can't call it a double
standard. It is a double standard, but it has a place in the universe, of course.
Because it's like, what, did you see that stand up? I forget his name. Jim Jefferies. The Jim Jefferies sluts versus studs bit.
The difference? Was it about how hard it is to bang chicks and how hard it is to bang guys?
So, well, basically, he's like, in life, there are sluts and there are studs. And it's hard to be a stud. You've got to be, you know, well-dressed, rich, good-looking, and have a fake job. It's easy to be a slut. You can be a fucking dwarf. I've heard of slutty dwarfs. I've never heard of stud dwarfs before. And it's fucking hilarious. Like 5 minutes and he goes into this whole spiel. And he's like, it's, you know, the double standard is the reason, because it's fucking hard to sleep with women, but it's really easy as a woman to sleep with men.
Exactly.
In general. So.
And again, these are just my opinions. It doesn't mean that like they shouldn't bang anything that moves or whatever they like. I'm just saying I'm not into girls like that. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
So that we don't get canceled.
Exactly. And you're totally, you know, entitled to your own opinions and preferences. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for women doing whatever they want and, you know, being a whore just like I used to be. I don't judge it at all. It's just, you know, what you choose to, what's your preferences?
So. Yeah, I like to take a good girl and make her into like a fucking like crazy, like you take a good girl who like hasn't had a one night stand, hasn't slept with a guy on like a first date, and like you teach her the joys of threesomes and brutal deep throating, and that's my kind of biggest pleasure, like fucking up good girls.
Yeah, I mean, like that, and there's so many women that have that fantasy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of the more good girls they are, the more likely they're going to have all sorts of crazy fantasies like that. Tell me more about the, you know, just kind of your experience day gaming, and like what were kind of the things at first that you struggled with, and you were mentioning earlier about the mental masturbation things. Like, obviously for most guys, just doing it is kind of the hardest part. Like actually, like doing your first approach and getting the courage to do it. And then you got to do it consistently. You mentioned something earlier too, which is cool. Is like you do some day game, you get a girlfriend, you break up, and then you really start doing day game.
A lot of guys are like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because they start doing it and they're like, whoa, my God, this works. And they meet an awesome girl. But of course, they get no relationship, probably because she's the hottest girl that they've had. And then that inevitably ends. And then they really are like, okay, now I'm going to kind of learn this skill. So yeah, what was your experience with that?
So, there are a few things. First is guys have to learn to go out on their own. And I think they should learn to overcome approach anxiety before they actually like get coaching or whatever. Like, I really believe that. I was struggling with approach anxiety to, like, I might sound like, oh, like I traveled, like bank checks all over the world, like threesomes, like all this shit. Yeah. When I wanted to start day gaming, I knew how, like, I watched a lot of videos and knew how this works. So I went out with intention to open a hot girl. And with that intention, I walked around for 2 hours. I didn't open a single girl. I went out the next day, the same. And I went out almost every day, pretty much like 2 hours every day for 2 weeks until I gathered courage to for the first time open a girl and say hi to a girl. So approach anxiety for me was an incredibly hard thing to overcome. And not like almost no advice that I found really helped me. So that was number one. And then you have to go from your first approach. And guys think, like, I remember when I was learning, I thought, oh, approach anxiety is like this, the worst thing of them all. It's so big. Oh my God. And then you realize, oh, it's just a start. It's like step one. Yeah. And guys kind of have this impression that, oh, as soon as I'll say hi, I'll overcome this fear. They'll all want to bang me. Like, no, they won't. Like, they don't give a fuck. Like, there's someone's hitting on them all the time. So, and then comes the consistency part, because if you do one approach, you go out the next day, well, it's just as scary. And you go out the next day and it's just as scary, but every time it becomes a little bit less scary. So you have to build up to a point where you don't really give a fuck and slowly start doing those like 25, 30 sets a week at least. And then you finally have to work on your technicalities. You start working on your game. Maybe you start recording sets. Maybe like maybe they join your leverage program, or they come up to one of the events that you throw all over the world. Yeah. And they're actually getting some infield coaching. And when they do that, that's where they actually become good. And then the next problem happens. And there are like a few problems. First of all, let's say you are throwing an event in, let's say, Kiev, and guys decide to show up and they have zero infield experience, but they show up to your event. Well, there is a very big risk that they will go to your event. You will beat them with a stick, or your coaches will beat them with a stick, and they'll go out and they'll approach, and it will just work. And they will probably most likely get laid during the days of coaching. Like when I coach, I actually did the math. More than half of the guys that I coach get laid during the coaching days. Yeah. And like they come to your coaching, they get laid, amazing. They go back home. Well, now they don't have anyone with a stick.
Exactly.
Well, and it goes to
shit. That was my experience when I first attended boot camps as a student way back in 2007. I did like 30 approaches, went home and didn't do a single one for like the next 3 months. And now, yeah, I won't allow guys to come to an event unless they're already approaching and they're, you know, the program starts long before they can ever show up, and they've got to be doing it on your own. Cause yeah, that's so important. Cause that's exactly what happened. You experience the workshop high, and I've seen it so many times. That companies that offer these boot camps, and it just doesn't work. It's like
it works for the days while they're there.
Exactly, but that's it. It doesn't. So stick, which is important.
That's one problem, and then the other one comes. Let's say they go back home, they day game. They actually day game because they prepped or they kept doing going out, and so what happens is they start meeting girls that they previously weren't meeting girls like that. And they meet the next level girl, and sooner or later, a girl will test the limits. She'll see how much I can get away with this dude. And if that girl is like completely new level, guys are often afraid to lose that girl. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, like, cause they know if she tells me to fuck off, I will have to go back to those like chicks that I was dating before. And that's like way worse than this one.
Yeah.
So they let the girl to get away with a lot of shit. And obviously that's when she obviously dumps them because, oh, this guy doesn't have frame and fuck this. So that's another thing. They oftentimes end up in relationships with girls just because they are afraid to lose those girls. So I think an important thing is after you learn your game, after you get results, well, you shouldn't be in a relationship for the first, I don't know, maybe get like 50 lays, maybe. I don't know, 30, 50, yeah. 100. Like my mind changes on this topic. Like I used to say 100. No, I think like, no, you don't need 100. Maybe like 50, maybe even 30 is okay. And then you can start thinking about it. So that is also very, very big. And then the last thing that was a big challenge for me, oh my God, this was a big one. I was really good in Riga, like really good. Like I knew what I was doing to the smallest, like I could explain during the date the smallest technical nuances I was doing. But then Tom Torero said, dude, you should start traveling. Like, you'll see what day game is really about. Mm-hmm. And when you start going to new places, that's where you test your day game.
Yeah.
And that's where you actually, like, you learn in one city. That's good. Nice, good. Yeah, congrats. You're actually really good. But if you want to be really, really good, you have to travel and date girls in very different countries because every culture is different. Like, American girls from different parts of USA are different. Like, there's a difference between, I don't know, like California girls or New York girls, or you go to Mexico, completely different girls. You go to former Soviet Union, different. You go to UK, or you meet a girl that lives in Dubai, or they're very different. And you have to develop this skill just as I developed my skill to micro adjust to very small nuances to girls in Latvia. Now I had to learn I had to relearn to adjust in each city I went to. And then once you learn to adapt to, let's say, Poland, to Prague, to, I don't know, Ukraine, to New York City, to Mexico, to wherever, you learn to adjust to each city. And what happens is you're not just learning to adjust to new cities, you're actually learning the skill of adjusting. And then all of a sudden you can go to a new city and in like 5 to 10 approaches, you can have clear vision about the whole dating culture in that country just from seeing how they react to your day game stuff. Yeah. And I think that is a really, really big challenge that I went through the first time I came to Serbia. Oh my God, dude, I got destroyed so bad. And now I'm back here and I'm like, why was I getting destroyed here? This doesn't seem that bad. I mean, they're traditional, but they're super responsive to day game. I don't get blowouts here almost at all, and they're super positive. But back then I got like, it was normal to get like 8 blowouts in a row.
Yeah.
So those were like the biggest challenges I went through. And some of those challenges, of course, as I said, I've seen in students, but very few of them have went to, well, very few of them live the traveling lifestyle. Those are the guys that I actually traveled with. Like, if I coach someone and then I know they live this lifestyle, then we actually start traveling together and going to places.
Yeah. I told you about the road trip I took around Eastern Ukraine, right?
Yeah, small cities.
That was very cool. And I recommend every guy does. You can do that in any country, you know, but there's definitely a big difference between girls you'll meet in the big capital metropolitan cities versus ones you'll meet in the smaller sort of satellite cities. Still have, you know, 1 million people or 300, 400,000 people, like big cities, but the mentality is so much different. Like, there's so many girls in Kiev. You know, there's so many sugar daddies in Kiev, and there's such a culture here of kind of like a sponsor and a sponsorette, because there's a lot of money in Kiev, and it's normal for guys with money, deputies, you know, politicians, whatever, to have like a harem of a gazillion girls, and they're renting flats for all these girls and they're paying their way. And then the girls will take that money and then they'll date like a guy their age, like 21, and then spend the money on that guy. Maybe they're married too. So there's so many just weird sort of situations. That was very eye-opening for me coming from the US, which doesn't really have a lot of that going on. I mean, it definitely has some.
New York City has some, but
yeah, New York, Miami.
To a particular, LA, if you approach the hottest girls, then you can sometimes see it.
Totally. But yeah, it seems, at least it's like the people don't talk about it really openly in the US. Like, oh my God, she's a sugar baby. She's a sponsor. Like here, it's like, just who's my sponsor? It's like pretty normal. It's a different culture. And so one thing that's interesting in Kiev is you see almost no beautiful women working in the service industry. In most other big cities that I've been to, like the hottest girls work at nightclubs or they work at restaurants and they work in jobs they can get tips. Hotter they are, the more they're going to get tipped. In Kiev, like nothing. In the nightclubs, it's all dudes who are like, you know, cocktail servers or guys. You know, and that's because I think most of the beautiful girls here have sponsors and you know, they just don't need jobs. Whereas in the other cities, in the other cities in Ukraine, it's not like that quite, you know, there's beautiful girls working in those jobs. So it's a crazy thing. which is very eye-opening to me. In Belgrade, I remember seeing quite a lot of beautiful girls working in bars.
Oh yeah, completely regular jobs. It's an interesting topic, I've learned to play with the topic a little bit with girls. Because in Latvia, I remember one day I was just like walking around doing my sets, and I saw far ahead of me, maybe like 100 meters, that's like 300 feet. I saw this like tall, very leggy, very beautiful, like dressed girl. But I saw him from behind. I was like, she's too far. I'm not going to run that far. But I kind of, she walked slow. So I caught up and I opened her and like, first of all, like, damn, she was hot. And then we go on a date, and on my dates, I have a way to do my dates where it's clearly one of the first topics I will cover on a date. And I'm not suggesting anyone does this, but I will talk about drugs as one of the first topics on a date, just because then they know, oh, like, okay, this dude is not working a 9-to-5. I'm being a boring stupid dude. Like, I can have some interesting conversations with this guy. And with this girl, we're starting to have this chat, and I pretty soon realized she's a sugar baby. But she knows that I'm not the sugar type. She knows I'm the, let's call it like the cliche bad boy type. She sees that. And excuse my details, how PG is your podcast?
X-rated.
Like, I fuck her in a throat before kissing her. We got so shit-faced that I tied her up in a box tie. And it's not a smart thing to do when you're shit-faced. And I never do bondage when I'm that shit-faced, because she was tied up and she fell off my sofa.
Oh, shit.
So, and she was this sugar baby. She's traveled the world. She's partied with, like, Paris Hilton. She was one of the first people I interviewed in my podcast, like a scam girl, sugar baby. It was a hilarious interview. And so I was banging this sugar baby who is seeing all these rich dudes from all over the world. But to me, like, I was for her just like a guy she fucked a few times and just for fun. And after that, when I traveled and I met Russian girls where I thought maybe she has a bit of sugar kind of vibe in her, I kind of brought the topic to sugar babies. And I said, yeah, actually, I used to date the sugar baby. And you say that to them, and then they are like, they sometimes interpret it as, this dude probably has money. But I made sure they know that, it was really cool. She was like traveling the world with these rich dudes, and they were buying them gifts. And then she was bringing those gifts back home, and we were using them together.
Right.
And this story, which is like, it's a story that was partially true, but just over-exaggerated. Like, it was like, let's just say there was this much truth, and then like.
But she now knows that you know about the culture, you accept the culture, and you're not
And they would just bang me because they know, this guy is no sugar. And of course, talking last minute resistance, blah, 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 all of like standard stuff. But they would bang me because they know, it's not sugar here. Amazing.
For a while, I would only date those sort of girls because I was doing all sorts of, you know, crazy boat trips. And like any girl who my tagline on Seeking Arrangements, which is a sugar baby, sugar daddy site, of course, was you can't choose your dad, but you can choose your daddy. Yeah. And my whole kind of spiel on there was I'd show my lifestyle, and girls would message me all the time. It's an amazing site because girls will open you. But most of the arrangements on there are like pay per meet or some sort of, you know, prostitution thing, which I wasn't interested in. But they would see my photos, and it was like me in travel photos with tons of girls and, you know, good looking girls, guys around in crazy places. And they would, you know, they'd typically message me, or I'd message them, and I'd be like, hey, I'm not the traditional sugar daddy. Me and my friends put trips together, and we do fun sort of things, kind of like a big crazy family. You know, definitely like not things you wouldn't do in a family, kind of like referring to like casual drug use and those sorts of things. And if you want to join our traveling circus, you know, let me know. And I got so many girls who were just like, yeah, please, next time you're going on a trip, bring me here, bring me there. You know, you don't have to pay for anything, like just get my ticket and I'll pay for the rest, blah, blah, blah. And it was really interesting to have those experiences and learn about kind of what those girls, because it's really true that like girls or women just in that are on that site, like they will treat you as you kind of expect to be treated. Like if you don't understand the dynamics of that world, like they're going to take advantage, and why wouldn't they? But if you do, you can, and you understand the playing field, like you can have a lot of fun. You can date like hot sugar babies without being a sugar daddy and, you know, have a
exactly.
lot of fun.
Exactly. And you guys just have to understand the mechanics of that world, just so that they don't get played. And obviously everyone will get played when they're starting to explore places in former Soviet Union. They'll go on like 7 dates with a girl and buy her dinners and whatever. And girls know what they're doing. They know how to drag guys along. But it's just important to know that, to not fall in those traps, and that's it.
You know, I don't know if you've seen this, probably not given the fact that, you know, where you're from, but there's in every one of these Eastern European cities I've been to, there's always a local expat community of Americans, Canadians, British. And it's these guys that think they know what they're doing when it comes to dating, because they're doing better here than they did back at home. Or at least they think they're doing better because on average, the girls are more beautiful here, but they're so fucking clueless and pathetic. It's like, it's such a joke that these guys like, yeah, man, they're giving this other advice. Like, yeah, you got to take them to 7 dinners. You got to buy them these flowers. You got to do this. You got to do that. And then, but man, when they sleep with you, and it's like, who the fuck are these guys spewing this horrible advice? So if you're, you know, if you fall into one of those categories and you're taking dating advice from like a bunch of expats, like, fucking good luck.
Don't. And the other thing is, when people from those countries come to former Soviet Union, like when I go to Serbia now, I have to walk around quite a bit to actually find a girl that I want to talk to. Because mm-hmm. I've traveled, I've seen the world. I grew up in former Soviet Union in Eastern Europe, and I've seen hotness.
Yeah.
The one thing I hadn't seen much is girls who really know how to take care of themselves. And you can see that in Serbia. But when you look behind that makeup and that hair extension and that style, you see the double chin, which I didn't notice 1.5 years back when I came here first. And so a lot of the guys that come here, they're just not used to girls that actually look decent. And most of them would be incredibly happy to sleep with so many girls here, but after you spend more time here and you realize what's actually hot, you don't really want to spend time with them, because they're hot for some like village, some small town in US. Like, I don't know, they're hot in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And now like we get flame from Wisconsin. but if you go to Riga,
everyone's
like they're,
so nice
they're
in
nothing there. They're not hot there, and that's it. But still, the beauty is those average girls, however average they are, they still get so much attention, and they can be princesses at 20. And you might think, oh, well, once she stops being a princess at 28, well, I won't be interested anymore. They don't care, because there'll be other dudes who will be just as interested when they're 28, when they're like 35, when they're 40. They will be in demand if they're taking care of how they look. And this part of the world, girls know how to do it. So the hotness level in general is, like, you can't even compare it to most of Western places, like even UK, unless you're looking at the hottest chicks you can see on Oxford Street. Like, it's okay.
No,
but
there's a joke that every Ukrainian girl is a stylist, or, you know, basically like she looks like she just walked out of the salon. You know, her hair is perfect, her makeup's perfect. You know, she goes to the gym in makeup and like perfect clothes, and they really take care of themselves a lot better than, you know, you'll see girls in the US just like they only wear yoga pants. You know, they their hair looks like it's been dyed 25 times, and, you know, it's just a horrible like mess. And that's I think a lot of that is just feminism in general, which is fine. Like, you can go and leave the house and look however you want. I don't give a shit. But my preference is obviously like, you know, I try to put my time into my appearance. I, you know, shave and try to keep my beard a good length and get haircuts every month. You know, so I appreciate someone who does the same. And you're just, if you're into that sort of thing and grooming is important to you, you're going to have a lot better time over in this part of the world. That's for sure.
Exactly. I seriously encourage guys to just book a flight and go explore. And there are still places in former Soviet Union, even with, like, okay, they can't go to Schengen right now from USA, but there are many places they can go to.
Yeah, they can come to Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, and you're probably throwing some events in Ukraine, so.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of places. I mean, Eastern Ukraine was something that was really cool. There's one place I really want to go to, just because it's such a weird place, and I just want to see what it's like, Kaliningrad, which is that, it's just about Poland, right? And trying to explain it to the people that are listening, it's like its own country, but it's Russia. It's like an island area, but it's part of Russia. And I met a few girls from there when I was in Moscow that were really cool. And it's just like this weird place, apparently.
So. With Russian culture. Still, they're like fairly traditional, not so crazy. I met some girls from there. It's a weird place, man. Like that's a topic on its own. I've thought about going there, actually.
Yeah, and then all the guys I know from here that are of Russian descent, they all say you've got to go to what's the part? It's in like central Russia, Tatarstan. They say that, and I've met some girls from Tatarstan, and they're like, unbelievably beautiful.
Next level.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got to book flights to Tatarstan.
Tatarstan, even Kazakhstan, I heard was pretty good. You know, there's all those Stan countries. With, obviously, you don't want to go to Pakistan or Afghanistan, because you got the Muslim countries aren't usually very good for day game in my experience. But some of those other ones that aren't quite, or Tatarstan's not a, I don't even think it's a country. It's just
I think it's a region in Russia.
Region of Russia, right, exactly. But you've got some, for sure, those places are not day gamed out. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, and they're probably, if you don't know how, like, first of all, if anyone listening hasn't been to many places in former Soviet Union and is even thinking about going there, don't. Because I know Americans, after a few drinks, when they think they're the hot shots, and you will get your face smashed in to a next level. Because in places like that, they seriously don't care what happens to you if they beat you up. And police will never find them. Nothing will be solved. It's like Latvia was like that 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Like, I grew up in a small village, and you go to some Tatarstan and you decide to be this like big douchey frat guy. Yeah, you're done, man. Like, just guys, seriously, like, it's a different world. You, like, just as you wouldn't hop on a flight and you wouldn't go to, I mean, you would go to Cancun maybe, but there are like, in most part places in Mexico, you wouldn't go there and be this flashy American guy. You shouldn't do it in some places in former Soviet Union as well. Go do it in places like Ukraine or big cities in Russia. That's fairly safe. But when we're talking villages in any former Soviet Union place, that's poor, like poor places in Russia, probably some poor places in Ukraine too. Just don't be the douchey guy. Locals don't care. They have nothing to lose.
Yeah, for sure. That's good advice. Because, well, I have absolutely no sympathy for those douchey guys. If they want to go and get their face beaten, then that'd make me feel great, actually. So if you are that guy, hop a flight to Tatarstan, go out, be that big frat douche, and, you know.
Yeah, just happens. go to St. Petersburg, go to Moscow, as Americans, it's super easy to go to Kiev. Like, there's no visa required. They're super easy to go there flights-wise. I assume there probably are direct flights, maybe even from New York, maybe, or
direct flights. There's a kind of a stereotype in the US that somewhere like Ukraine's actually very dangerous. Kiev is extremely safe. It's safer in Kiev than it is in most U.S. cities.
Oh, yeah.
Way safer. You know, like, you know, you can walk into the wrong neighborhood in Miami or obviously somewhere like Detroit you know, certainly in Wisconsin, you step foot in the wrong neighborhood, like, forget about it.
You're, number one most dangerous place I've been on the earth is like US, man. In terms Mexico of just, seems like, safer than US.
In Mexico, you got to watch out for, like, you know, obviously if you're hanging out in the wrong neighborhoods and doing sketchy shit, you can find yourself in trouble. But certainly, like, you know, I'd be much more afraid walking down the wrong street in the US than I would in Ukraine, for example. You know, the just the level of what could happen bad to you is probably quite a bit more.
Yeah, there are not that many guns on the streets in Ukraine.
Right, right. Yeah, it's very common.
Normal country.
LA, you get knives, guns, you know, you get robbed, mugged. People just don't give a shit in some of those places. But yeah, in terms of, you know, in the US, it's like, I mean, not to get into that, but like there's a new shooting like three times a day, almost, it seems like. So, I mean, obviously your odds of being killed in a fucking, you know, gun related shooting death are like lower than any other sort of thing. But yeah, in general, it's definitely safer.
You know, it's the good thing in places like Ukraine. Well, unless you get jumped by like 20 guys, but people there, they're not pussies. They will not pull that out, a gun or a knife that easily. They'll fight you like a man.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, I'm fucking snowflake, I need a gun to protect myself. Just go, knock hands up. Fight. And that's cool in former Soviet Union. It's much safer. Yeah, you can get punched in the face, but I mean, what's wrong with that? Who hasn't gotten punched in the face?
I've only been in one bar fight, and that was actually in Bali. If you go to the wrong neighborhood in Bali, in Kuta, there's a lot of Australians, they call them Aussie Bogans, which are like redneck, you know, trashy Australians. And they go to Bali because it's close and it's cheap. And those guys just look for fights. So
yeah,
I've told that story before on the podcast. But anyways, anything else you wanted to cover about, you know, Eastern European cities, traveling, day game?
I think guys just have to pull the trigger and just go there. I mean, if you're from US, even if you're afraid of COVID, it's so easy to get vaccinated right now in US, especially if you're from New York, you just sign up and you go get vaccinated and or get an insurance that covers COVID. Then
yeah, it's so easy. Yeah.
Just pull the trigger, book the flights, go somewhere, like explore places you haven't been to. When guys in New York, like the day game is like, oh my god, like New York girls, they're the hottest. And but those are the guys that haven't traveled, and exactly. You go back and you're like, shit,
haven't been outside of New York.
So, exactly.
So where can people find out about you, hear your podcast? I was recently a guest, so I'll obviously drop the show notes and
yes, the podcast we recorded is going live this Friday.
It's called St. Robert Podcast, right?
St. Robert Podcast, ST Robert Podcast. It is on YouTube, it is on iTunes, it is on Spotify. If you guys want to see more the content I put out, then there are like just two websites they can check out. They can go to my website, strobert.blog, that is strobert.blog, or they can go to daygamecourses.com, where I just put up free online courses about texting and dating and like a bunch of free stuff. That's it. Like, it's exactly the stuff I teach my students, so they can go and get it for free. And yeah,
cool. Well, dude, it's been awesome discussing all this stuff in depth. You know, I don't often get to speak with someone that has more intel on this area than I do. So it's been it's been a treat. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man, and we'll see you when I get one day to Ukraine, probably.
For sure.
Nice. Okay. Bye, guys.
See you guys. Oh, don't forget, leave a review. Get a free fucking Pizdiets shirt. I'll ship it to you no matter where you are. Leave the review on iTunes. Send me a screenshot and I'll send you a shirt. So signing off, guys. See you later.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.